Chapter number 19. I told Brother Donald Boone I was going to get up here and I was going to say, doom, doom, doom. See if anybody laugh. Acts chapter number 19, we're going to be in verse number 20. If you find your place, stand with me. The Bible says in verse number 20 of Acts chapter 19, it says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, God, that you bless us with. God, thank you for allowing us just to come here. God, as God, throughout the world, folks aren't able to gather together, God, in like manner, Lord, and I thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. God, thank you for those that came. God, I pray tonight that you have me behind you. Lord, I don't want them to see me hiding me behind the cross. God, and I don't want them to hear me or what I've got to say, God, because I mess it up, Lord. I pray that you speak through me, God. Help us have ears to hear and hearts to take in. That, God, when we leave this place tonight, God, we'll be different than the way that we walked in. Father, we love you and we thank you. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. I got to thinking about that. And anytime I hear anything about growing or the word grew, I always my mind tends to go back to plants. Why? I don't know. But I like the garden. I like to get in the garden, and I like to see things come up from something that you've worked for, and you go out there and you till the ground, and when you till the ground, you put a seed in the hopes that it's gonna produce and it's gonna grow up, and you walk past that thing, or at least I do. I'll plant something in the ground, and I'll walk out through there, Brother Jackie, and I'll just walk out there daily, and I'll just be looking. And each and every day I try to make sure that everything's right with it, and it's got the right soil, the right pH in the soil, the right nutrients in the soil. It's got fertilizer, and I go out there and I'll water it, and I'll do all of those things, and I'll be walking and I'll pace back and forth each and every day. And then finally on one day, Brother Robert, you'll see all of a sudden see something just pop up out of the ground. First, you'll see like the ground kind of, you can look and I can look down through there and you'll see the ground kind of coming up and it'll be cracking and nothing will be coming through yet. But then all of a sudden, one day you'll walk out there and it'll look like 15 of them grew at one time. And they just sprout out of the ground. Squash plants, I love seeing squash plants because they're so big. But I got to thinking about that word grew and just about plants and about a garden and the things that are needed in order for a garden or a plant to grow. And if I was to ask you, we could go around this room and we could talk about different fertilizers that help a plant to grow. We could talk about the soil types, pHs that are better for this type of plant or that type of plant. We could go and say water. They all need water. Every one of them need water in order to grow. We could go and we could talk about different types of compost that are used in order to make the ground even better than what it was. But each and every one of them, though they need those things, they've got to have sunlight. They've got to have sunlight. And as I was looking at this, I thought about that plant, but then I also thought about a Christian and us individually as how we grow each and every day. And some of us, if I was to go around the room, I would hope that if I asked the question, do you want to grow your relationship with Christ or your relationship in Christ, that every hand would go up. But the sad thing is, Brother Dale, some wouldn't. Some wouldn't. And that's just the fact of the matter. Some wouldn't. But I want you tonight to focus on individually on your growth. And not only that, but you can also compare this to church growth. We can compare this to growth in the kingdom of God. And so tonight, just for a few moments, I just got a few things to throw at you. So it won't be long, but the title of this would be Things That Cause Growth. Things that cause growth in our life. You see, whether you want to or not, you're going to grow. You're going to grow. And comparing it to Christianity and your relationship with Christ is you're going to grow in one of two directions. We're either going to grow in our walk with Christ, or we're going to grow in the world. Because at the end of the day, that's the only two things that we're going to grow in, is those two things. And I promise you, I hope this isn't as rough as the last one was Sunday night. Somebody say amen. But like I've told somebody, and this is a side note, I ain't the cook. I ain't the cook. I'm just the waiter trying to get it to the table without messing it up. And that's all that I'm here for. So I love you, church. But some things that I believe that cause growth. Number one, I want you to look with me in verses 8 and verses 9 in chapter 19. And what I want you to notice is one thing that can cause growth in our life, and we see it here with Paul as Luke pins it down, is contending for the cause of Christ. Contending for the cause of Christ. Verse number 8, it says, and he went, speaking of Paul, Luke writes, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily. He disputed daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So I want you to see this contention for the cause of the faith. You see, Paul, you don't have to look far to see that Paul went a lot of places. Paul had a lot of missionary journeys, and he visited a lot of churches and a lot of ungodly places. He went to a lot of places to where people wanted to kill him. He went to a lot of places to where Christianity wasn't a thing, really. And so you see Paul, as he goes to this place, he's in Ephesus. And as he's going, the Bible says that he's disputing the word. You see, a lot of times, you know what I do or we do as Christians whenever we go to a place to where we know that people don't believe and don't believe the way we believe? You know what we tend to do? Shut down. We tend to shut down in a sense. We tend to say, and it's human, it's flesh. We tend to kind of draw up, and if everybody is one way, and here you are walking in, and you're the only one for Christ, and that's just being honest. Sometimes we tend to just kind of shell up, kind of get in our own little box or own little world. We don't speak out as if when we're around other Christian people. Or in a place where Christians believe, where we believe the same thing. So I want to encourage you tonight. I'm not here to beat you over the head with nothing. But I want to encourage you that in order for us, sometimes for us to grow, Brother Donald, is for us to contend for the faith. For us to get in those conversations that aren't comfortable. Those conversations where maybe this one doesn't believe, or maybe this one believes a little bit different than what you believe. It's good for us to contend for the faith. Why? Because it's worth fighting for. Contend, when you contend for something, you go after it. You do all you can do in order to achieve it, in order to gain it, in order to get it. You contend for it, Jackie. And I think us as Christians, as we grow, that it ought to be something in our life that we ought to grow from, that we that would cause growth in our relationship. Why? Because we'll know what we believe, and we'll believe it even stronger. You want to get excited? Learn the books of the Bible all over. And I mean that. Start back from the beginning. Start back with the easy stuff. And watch and see how it starts to well up in you. And all of a sudden you start wanting to contend for the faith. You start wanting not to go and argue all the time. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about but getting healthy conversations with folks. Just about your faith and why you believe what you believe. Why we believe what we believe. Preacher Tim done a message one time about what Free Will Baptists believe. You can go back online and look at that. But individually, why do you believe what you believe? Why? Why do you believe what you believe? You see, in those uncomfortable situations, in those times to whenever we don't have the answers, that's when something wells up inside of you, and you know what you want to do. You want to go find the answer. You want to go figure it out. Well, why do I believe what I believe? Well, this. Well, this person asked me this question, and it kind of stumped me. So I want to go, and I want to know why I believe. I want to know the answer to that question as to why I believe what I believe. Number two. I want you to notice this, a thing that caused growth with Paul, and I think a thing that can cause growth with us, is continuing for the cause of Christ. I think there's something to be said about folks that continually fight for the cause of Christ. I think there's something to be said about folks that, and I'm just going to say this, that come on Wednesday nights. I really do. This is like the heartbeat of the church. And I mean that. Granted, some people can't come because of work, and I get that. But I want you to know that things that cause growth is continuing. Luke writes here in verse number 10. He wrote about a little bit in verse number 9 about disputing daily in the school. But then he says, and this did what? It continued by the space of 2 years. It continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that they which, listen to this, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. He continued in the faith. He kept pressing forward. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter number 16. Listen, it says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For light is our, you got to realize who's saying this. You got to realize who's saying, Paul is writing this. For light is our affliction, but it's but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Man, Paul writes that, and I want to read this to you, just so you know exactly who we're talking about. Verse, chapter number 11 of 2 Corinthians and verse number 24, verse number 23, we'll start. It says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in laborers more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequent, in death oft. Of the Jews 5 times, listen, 5 times I received, 40 stripes, save one. First stripe, I'm gone. Just being honest. Listen. 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day have I been in the deep. Man, if anybody had the right to quit, don't you think it'd be Paul? Man, all these things that he went through, man, he's floating on the deep on a piece of a board. Shipwreck. Stone. If you go back in Acts, it's a couple chapters back, but you'll see to where they stoned him and left him there. When you were stoned, you wasn't supposed to make it. You wasn't supposed to be alive when they got done with you. You weren't supposed to walk away or get up. But you know what Paul did? Whenever he got stoned, the men gathered around him. Whether they prayed, I'd say they prayed, but he got up and he goes for a little bit to this one place and then he returns back to the place that stoned him. Iconium and Antioch. He goes back to those places that stoned him. Man, I think there's something to be said of Paul. And I'm not putting Paul up there with Christ. No. Paul was wrapped in flesh just like we was. He was a man just like we was. But he continued on even when things got hard. Even when things got dry. Even when things lost all hope. Even when things didn't seem like they were going to turn out good. Even through all of that, Paul continued for the faith. He didn't quit. And so if I can tell you tonight, don't quit. I don't know what you're going through individually. I don't know. I heard a lot of sickness. I heard a lot of folks going through sicknesses and stuff. Don't quit. Hey, I don't know your finances. I don't know what your marriage looks like. I don't know nothing. But can I encourage you, don't quit because it's worth it. It's worth it. Not only is there the contending and the continuing, but this is something that I think ought to bleed out of every believer and every transformed Christian alive. This is just my opinion. But number three, I want you to see the ones that are converted. Seeing the ones that are converted. If you go back, let me find my spot. If you go back to chapter number 19 and you look about 1 through 7, I'm just going to give you a Cliff Notes version. 1 through 7, you'll see to where John's disciple, Paul meets John's disciples, and he goes to him and he talks to him, and they said, you know, we've been baptized with repentance. And he says, well, what about with the Holy Ghost? And they said, we don't even know what you're talking about. We don't have a clue. What is this Holy Ghost? And there's a lot of discrepancy on whether these people were saved or not. But I'm not here to argue that. But what I am here to tell you is that when Paul reached his hand out and touched them, they received the Holy Ghost. So you know what happened? The Bible says that they began to prophesy and to speak in tongues. What happened to them was when they received the Holy Ghost, they were changed. They were different. They weren't the same. They weren't the same as when they started, as when they met Paul. They weren't the same. They were different. They were totally different. Verses 17 and 18. Give you a little bit of Cliff Notes again. Verses 11, you go to Paul, and God works a miracle through Paul, and people are just, Robert, they, man, they touching handkerchiefs. And all of a sudden, whatever disease they had on them or in them, whatever demon they had inside of them, just by them touching the handkerchief of Paul, it was brought out. Whatever demon was inside of them was cast out just because of touching the handkerchiefs and aprons is what the Bible says. And all of a sudden, these Jewish exorcists try to basically go and try to preach in the name of Jesus. What they go and they go to this demon-possessed man, Brother Robert, and they tell him that they say, we basically going to cast you out in the Jesus in whom Paul preacheth. They go to him and they say that. They don't even know Christ. And they've seen what it can do. But all of a sudden, because they didn't know the name in which they are speaking of, that demon looks at them. And he says, for Jesus I know. And Paul I know. But who are you? But who are you? And you know what happens? That demon jumps up and there were seven of them. Man, he just cleaned house. And the Bible says that they left out of the house naked and wounded. And when the people saw it, listen in verse number 17, and it was known of all Jews and Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them. And the name of the Lord was magnified. The name of the Lord was magnified, and many that believed came and confessed. Man, just because they seen that, they probably seen what Paul had done and the people touching the handkerchiefs and the aprons and they were healed and the demons were come out and all of a sudden they see these guys that had no authority in the name of Jesus, that held no weight in the name of Jesus, that the demon didn't even know who he was or they were, get whooped up on. And all of a sudden, because of that, fear fell upon them. They said, you know, I don't want to be like them running down the street. I don't want to be like them ones running down the street that hold no authority. I was listening to a thing, and it talked about this fella described him and his little kid. About how they went to the mall or something and they were in there and he was teaching his young boy how to be a grown-up. He said, and the kid come over there and he wanted something to eat. And he handed him his debit card. And the kid walks up there. Gives the debit card. You know what that debit card didn't have? That debit card didn't have his name on it. That debit card that he gave didn't have his name on it. It had his father's name on it. And so he walked up there, and because of his father's resources, because of what his father had, because of what his father worked for, somebody's going to get it. What his father worked for, all of a sudden, he was able to swipe that card and was able to get what he needed. He was able to get what he needed. You see, sometimes it's about the authority that we hold in the name of Jesus. You see, lost people can't do that because they hold no authority in the name of Jesus. But saved people, Paul here demonstrates that for us. But all these folks being converted for Christ, and notice that it didn't say all. It says a many. For all of them, you see, if you go back to where is it at? In verse number 10, it said, for all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord. But then it goes to verse number 18, it says, and many believed. And many that believed came. So I want you to see this. If you go back to the book of Luke, chapter number 15 and verse 7, y'all know what that's about, the parables, and you got the lost sheep. The Bible says, "And I say unto you," Jesus is talking here, "that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." The Bible says that there's joy shall be in heaven. And then if you go on further down, it talks about the parable of the lost coin. And Jesus says something very similar. He says, "Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." You see, whenever we see, and I love it, man, there's nothing that I love more. I love seeing people get on fire for Jesus, but I'm going to tell you, there's something about whenever somebody that walks through those doors or gets up out of a pew, that you know them, and they're broken, and they're undone, and they live a life, a wretched life, a lost life, and all of a sudden, they get up and they come down to an altar, and all of a sudden men or women, depending upon, that they gather around, and all of a sudden that person gets up and it almost looks like there's a glow around them. Why? Because they repented, and the Bible says that the angels, there's joy in heaven over that. So let me ask you something. How much more joyful should we be when we see somebody that lived a life of sin and lived a life of rebellion, and all of a sudden they come down and they get the same thing that you got? Now all of a sudden their name is written in the same book that ours is written in. Just one. Man, that to me, and I hope to you that whenever you see that, through all the contention and all the continuing, when you see somebody come and get Jesus, man, they get Jesus, I hope that it does something for your soul. I hope that you get excited and it causes you to grow. Because why? Because I don't never want that to be the last one that I see, Brother Dale. I don't never want to see the last person get saved. I don't never want for that to be the case. I always want to continue seeing more and more people come to know Jesus. Why? Because it's what we're here for. Man, it's what we're here for. I'm not here for me. I'm here for him and to do the work that he's called us to do. But lastly, not only do we got the contending, not only do we got the continuing, the converting, but number four, and lastly, I want you to see something that causes growth in individuals as people changing for the cause of Christ. And what I mean is Christians changing for the cause of Christ. None of us are perfect in this place. None of us, from me all the way to the back. There's none of us. Man, we fight stuff each and every day. And guess what? Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we fail. Probably more often than not, we fail. But I said that to say this. Go to verse number 19 for me. So we've seen that all these people, they believed and came and confessed and showed their deeds. But verse number 19, listen to what this says. My Lord, there's a lot in this. It says, "And many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver." And I read, and that was almost like the wage of somebody during that time working for 150 years. Man, whenever you see somebody that you know's got it, hey, they're a new Christian. They're a new Christian and they battle things. They battled alcohol. They battled all of these different things. And then all of a sudden, Brother Dallas, when you see them and they get enough about them and they see folks coming to Jesus, and all of a sudden they say, you know what? I'm tired of this thing that's being in between me and Jesus. I'm tired of this thing. These people right here, they seen the need for Jesus, and they seen the need to take those things that they had that were hindering their relationship with Jesus. And you know what they did? They brought them and they burned them in front of everybody. I think I remember it. But years ago, I think you were the youth leader then, maybe. But, and maybe Blake, you might be able to help me on this. But years ago, it might have been here, might not have been. I might just be thinking myself. But somebody had a fire. It was somewhere. But somebody had a fire. And what they done with the youth is they challenged the youth group to come and to bring things that were hindering their relationship with Christ. Hindering their, kids were throwing CDs. They weren't throwing phones, because I don't even think phones was really a thing back then. But they were throwing all of these. They were throwing diaries. They were throwing different movies that they had watched. They were throwing all of these things that hindered the growth and hindered their relationship with Christ. And I think that sometimes in our life that we go through this life and we go through things and we get into this thing for a while, man, we kind of get a little bit laid back, and hey, I'm guilty of it. And I ain't been in this thing but 10, 11 years. And sometimes, if we're honest, sometimes things begin to take priority. Sometimes things in our life begin to kind of, not that we lost. Not that we're lost, but we tend to let things just kind of creep in. And they start out slow. Yeah. Instead of reading the Word, instead of getting engulfed in the Word, we tend to turn on that TV. Hey, I'm guilty. Yeah. We'll say, oh, I'm going to read that thing in a minute. 3 hours later. I done told y'all this before. You're sitting there on that phone in the bed, look over there on that nightstand, that Bible just be like this, looking at you. I get over there. I get to it. 2 hours later, we're back. You ever wonder, this side note, there, keep me laughing. But you ever notice when you read the Bible sometimes? What happens? What happens? Y'all ever tend to get sleepy? And I mean that being honest. But you can read any other book. Praying. Y'all know what gets me sometimes? Yawning. Oh my goodness. Yawning. But in nothing else does it happen. You ever thought about that? And no, really no other conversation. Now, if I see somebody yawn, I'm going to yawn. So y'all, I can't even look at y'all. I'm looking at the carpet. But through all of that, man, you see people that change. Back to it. You see people that change. People that go through this process. And sometimes stuff happens overnight that we give up. But then some things take a little bit more time. So I want to encourage you tonight. What are the things that help you grow in your relationship with Christ? Is it getting together as a family and maybe just reading a devotional? He didn't ask us to read the whole Bible in a night. He didn't ask us to flip through page and page and page. Robert, you're killing me, Robert. Robert up there yawning. But find something. If I can tell you something, if you don't hear nothing else, find something in your life that will grow you in your relationship with Christ, no matter what it is. Reading, whether it's listening to Scripture, whether it's going back to those friends that you used to hang out with that were godly friends. Go back to it. Let's as a church, this is encouraging, Brother Donovan. Let's as a church, let's get back to growing together as a church. Let's get back to growing as families in our relationships with each other, in our relationship mainly with Christ. As they come get a song, we're just going to do a short